One thing to note is that if you consider the commodity of, let's say, it takes a whole commodity, so it would be easier, let's say it's a commodity of FMN, then we have two sorts of algebraic structure. First of all, there is a teaching commutative algebra, simply because it's a commodity of the space, so it's automatically, differential zero is a great commutative algebra. And secondly, because we have a topological operat structure on this FMN, we inherit a co-operat structure of this object. So we have two sets of algebraic structures that are compatible. And such things one calls a Hopf operat. So definition. and we can say we just work in the category of vector spaces which have a locally convex or otherwise topology, and for the tensor product we take the completed tensor product. We take the completed tensor product, then indeed this will be an isomorphism. But this approach is not so good regarding homotopy theory, because if you want to now do homotopy theory in this category, you always have to carry around these topologies with you. So with all constructions you do, you have to impose this topology. Most of the time, I don't know, then you have to ask which topology. You cannot take like arbitrary topological vector space. The vector spaces arising from algebraic construction typically have topologies given by filtrations. So these are a priori not locally convex. So they are like almost locally convex. In definition of locally convex, you say that, I mean, one piece is that the generating neighborhoods of the origin must be absorbing. So if you scale them, you get the whole space. If you have filtration, it's not true. So they don't fit into the same framework. And then it becomes really awkward because you have to carry out around your own topology all the time and it doesn't play any role for what you want to do later. Although you would distinguish two spaces with different topologies in the theory. Like if you have a finite dimensional vector space, you can give it two different topologies in principle. And this is in principle possible, but kind of awkward. So, like other remedies are, you go to some notion of homotopy, operands or coefficients. This is probably the best remedy you can do, but you have to define what is the homotopy operand or homotopy coefficient. Then there's another possible way around. The problem is, of course, I should not talk about such. This is more for the expert. Another way around is to compress. So, so you have a function in the other direction from your corporates to topological operands. And you show that by abstract reasons, at least for good enough operands, this function has an adjoint. And then you just replace this omega by the adjoint. And that will take you the topological operand to a your corporate. The problem with that is you have more or less no control about this function, so it's kind of horrible. So you cannot really work with the object. Also, it's Benoit's formalism is very much restricted. So for example, the operator can have more operations in degree 0 and 1. And that's very bad, in particular, if you want to deal with framing this operator, where you have a lot of operations in degree 0 and 1. So students, please ignore that.
So what is the reason to call it hope? Is there some analogy with hope algebra or still duality notion?
Yeah, so it's a culprit for calling it. You're responsible for calling this hope.
No. But if you have things concentrated in LFT 1, then you get precisely hope algebra.
Then you get a bi-algebra.
Wait.
So you don't have an antipole. Yeah. Okay, this is what I wanted to say. So at least, I mean, this is a small technical issue that more or less I will ignore for the purposes of this talk or lecture. I think I can more or less safely get around this. And you can prepare it. Homology is certainly dual to cohomology. So by cohomology. If you you compute what is the corresponding opera here, it's the n Poisson opera. So the n Poisson opera for me is generated by a binary product of degree 0, which is a commutative product, and a Lie bracket of degree 1 minus n that are compatible in the sense that if you take the bracket of x with the product of y and z, it's equal to the bracket of xy product of z plus minus 1 to the degree of x. Minus 1 to the degree of y degree of z. That's z. That's y. So then, kind of, the first question or the first task that one might set out to do is understand the homotopy type of FMN. So understand, so this will be a D.G. Hopf opera, and I want to understand its quasi-isomorphism type. And the nice result, as due to Concevich, is that FMN is formal as an opera, and even as a Hopf opera over R. It's not true over the general rings of your fields of non-zero characteristic, but over R, the Q is 2. So you have a quasi-isomorphism of that thing to its cohomology that's very well under control. And I want to quickly sketch how it's done. I can say it. For you, what is this object in the middle? Basically, it's not so hard to guess. If you remember, that to show this unknown identity, we had to compute a certain integral associated to a certain graph. So we had a couple of points, 1, 2, 3, 4. We integrated out over point number 4, and it's nice it should be interpreted by putting omega ij's in the corresponding object. So that was this homotopy that I sketched. And our conceptual idea was, well, instead of just taking that simple graph, let's take arbitrary complicated graphs with the same rule that you always integrate out over this internal vertices. And that gives you enough homotopies to have maps from here and from here. So what is this object? Then, so it will again be an opera. Graph NK as a space will be the space of R linear series of graphs with two vertices. There's two kinds of words. Take a picture. External vertices that I draw as these hollow vertices. And we have so-called internal vertices. Which I draw as filled out vertices. So the external vertices are numbered by numbers from 1 to k. This k is precisely the area. One imposes certain conditions. First of all, conceptual forms that all internal vertices are free random, so that one can safely ignore actually, but it makes it for simpler space. Go from short cycles, so I call them tadpoles. So practice on this. And now comes the important condition. That there must not be a connected component of only internal vertices. I mean, if you have physicists, this construction might be relatively next word would be these are just a famous diagrams from sum over for a field theory with generic interactions, and this condition just means that the vacuum graphs I draw. And they're typically taken care of otherwise. There's a slight issue concerning signs. So in order to fix signs, you have to put an orientation on the graph. For example, if n is even, then you have to pick an ordering of the edges modulo signs. So if you pick a different ordering, you will identify the graph as one. And similarly, if n is odd. I will not discuss the sign issues. If you're interested in that, we can discuss them. That's a technical point. It's not so important. So what is the operator expression? What is the differential? I might give you an example. Suppose you have this graph over here and you want to enter in slot 3, you want to enter this graph over here. Then what you do is the following, you just delete that vertex number 3 here. Then you put your graph you want to enter, and then you sum over all reconnections of this edge here and here on here. So in fact you will get the sum of two terms in this example. Creating one new internal vertex. Yeah. You sum over all vertices. If the vertex is internal, you split it into two internal vertices, distributing the edges in all allowed ways. If the vertex is external, you do the same. You create one new internal vertex connected to the external guy back. And distributes the incoming edges in all possible ways. And you can check that the signs are correctly measured to zero. And this thing is actually quasi-anomorphic to impossible. So the map over here may be defined as follows. So graph was generated by the product in bracket, and the map is such that the product goes to the graph with two vertices and no edge, and the bracket goes to the graph with two vertices and one edge. Here's the map over here. And now we want to describe the map from the chain. And this is done as follows. So you start with a chain. Then you take a sum over all the graphs. So gamma is, let's say, a basis. Basis of. Then you take the graph with a certain coefficient, and for the coefficient you do essentially an integral in the same shape as we had before. So you integrate a certain form that is associated to the dual basis in the dual space over the chain you gave. And this map omega there is defined from as a map from some the dual space or rather the three dual space and the three dual matter into the form of some F of n such that if you take a graph gamma then omega gamma will be obtained as a fiber integral from an FMN, say k plus R with FMN k, where this graph is S, say k external vertices and R internal. And the form you pick here will be a wedge product of all edges of this form omega ij that we had before. So it might be, yeah.
So you see that in your association with there, the wedge on the right, is that anti-symmetric?
Yes.
So the 1-2 doesn't seem to see that. So if you relabel 1-2 to 2-1, that seems to be the same. So
Yeah, that's why I let, for example, if, I mean, here you have to, these things are either even or odd, depending on whether n is even or odd.
Okay.
So, for example, if n is even, these things will be odd. If n is even, then the orientation that I kind of probably avoided here amounts to an ordering of the edges in my graph modulo sine. So if I change the ordering, it gives me a minus sine. Mm-hmm. Now, this batch product then is taken in the same ordering as I have there.
So now, there is an induced ordering on the indices somehow.
Yeah, so this was for n even. So for n even, the ordering doesn't change because omega ij is omega ji.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Now, but the ordering within the product matters. Mm-hmm. Now for n odd, mm-hmm. the ordering of the product doesn't matter because it's not even form, but the ordering of the indices matters. Now I can imagine what an orientation here is. In particular, it will contain giving a direction on each edge, so specifying which is the first, which is the second modulo sign. If you flip, you get a minus sign. This will exactly account for this ambiguity. So that's a very good remark. So this ambiguity over here is precisely what you resolve by giving orientation. If you forget what an orientation is, you can recover it by just making this ambiguous. So I mean, here we did what we did before, right? So we had a couple of external vertices, we have a couple of internal vertices, we just integrate out all these internal vertices. And then it gives us a form of the remaining vertices, and those we integrate again over this tree. So written like this is a little bit, the construction is a little bit, I don't know how easy to remember it is, but if we remember this one case of the whole copy we had before, it's all built on this, just this more complicated process. By the way, this is also quasi-morphism, and the theorem of causality that the map I have constructed here is also quasi-morphism. Actually not too hard to check, but I do not do it here for time reasons. Maybe a slight remark for the expert. Actually, I'm telling you a slight lie here because you see, what is chains on FMN? If I'm naive and I say it's singular chains, then I have some problem, right? Because I cannot integrate a differential form over a singular chain. A singular chain would just be a continuous map into my manifold. If I pull back, I will not be able to do that. And secondly, here I'm taking fiber integrals, but the problem is that the fiber slightly changes depending on where the base point is. I mean, topologically it doesn't change, but the manifold structure changes. So in general, this will not be a smooth differential form. And this is a certain technical problem that one has to go around, that one goes around by working with a special notion of chains, which are semi-algebraic chains. So semi-algebraic maps, so semi-algebraic manifolds. Certain extent algebraic geometry over R. So in particular, if you have a semi-algebraic map between two, let's say Rm and Rn, it is a map such that a continuous map such that the graph is an algebraic set. So it can be described as by just using polynomial equalities and inequalities. And there's also a notion of semi-algebraic or PA forms that have all the required properties, so that you can take fiber integrals that you can and that you can define this pairing. So these technical problems can be gotten rid of. I do not want to discuss because it will be much too technical. I'll just give you a reference if you want to read more. So the theory of these semi-algebraic chains and PA forms is developed in this paper by Mark Mankoff, Turkin and Bolich.
It looks like a problem for applications to manifold.
Yes, yes. So for manifolds, you also have to. What you get around with manifolds is that you can always realize the manifold as a semi-algebraic.
I see.
Even as a algebraic.
Yes.
You have to fix that from embedding, it doesn't matter topologically. And then. Maybe one small remark, this object here is a corporate and the product is taken by viewing the graphs at external vertices. So if you have two graphs like this, you can produce a new one by gluing together one and one to and because this is a quasi-anamorphism and this is a DQ Hopf corpora, you also show the Hopf version of formality in this way. Recall a couple of known results, the new results that I've been talking about will be joined with the Ricardo compass. Frank, which is just this is obtained by Fourier compression space of points. Now at every point we have to fix a frame. Now here we have the right action of Fm and E frame, where E is equal to the dimension of M. And if the manifold is parallelized, so if you have trivialized the tangent bundle, and here we have an action of FME. If it's not parallelized, we cannot describe it.
So the computations are similar to what we explained the case of
so. Yes, exactly. So you when points collapse, you remember, let's say you pick a metric of the manifold and you remember relative angle where they approach, let's say pick a small unit designated point and at the center is the application to the tangent sphere, and you remember the relative rates of the point. Or you can, I mean, I think what we did in the paper is just embed M into some Rn. And even FMN is described in the literature. You can also look at the paper of Senior for FMN. I think it's not the same. You mentioned it's a different one, but it's also described. Now, okay. Now you can ask the same questions. So you can ask, what is the homology of that space? Omega j i as before, then we have as before omega ij's ax is equal to 0 as before. And then we have the Arnold relations, I will not write it again. So omega omega plus omega omega plus omega omega is equal to 0 with the indices I didn't get right last time, so I will try again. And then we have extra relations. These relations are omega ij e mu j is equal to omega ij e mu I.
So in your proof of the Arnold relation, you had the fourth point go to infinity, but yeah. Now you don't have infinity. Or am I confused?
Yeah, but this is a little different situation here. Also, this thing is much more complicated. Also, it's only a spectral sequence such that you keep in two pages. This.
Oh, so this isn't the answer. Sorry, I'm confused. Okay,
there's
that's
no
fine.
There's no closed solution for the answer. I will give you another way to get at the answer later.
Okay.
The answer is not simple. It's not that you can write down the algebra.
Okay.
I mean, look, this is for any manifold M. Manifolds can be quite complicated, so not supposed to be very simple.
Okay.
Furthermore, if one of the E's stands next to an omega, then you can change the index to the other one here, right? If you have JJ, then you can change this to I. If you have to. If you have two E's which live at the same. Which live at the same j, if you want, the same index here, you can multiply the corresponding forms using the multiplication rule we have here. I will write this a little bit sloppily as e mu wedge mu comma j. This is proper sloppy. I will make up a multiplication. It will be clear from what these objects are. And finally, let's say if we pick our basis, so let's say E1 is equal to 1 and H star of M. So then we would set E1J equal to 1 in our algebra. Another way to state this is that you do not decorate by H star M, but by the reduced form of it.
Can you explain again what you mean by that equals E mu?
So the degree the degree of E mu. So I have to, if I want to...
So there are many copies of E mu?
Yes, there are E mu J for J between 1 and K. And there's a differential now. It's only one page in the spectral sequence, so you expect that to be differential. D E J is 0, and D of omega I j is equal to sum. Ui dash e uj, where you sum over the basis of h star and the corresponding dual base. So this g mu mu should be the inverse matrix of the pairing from h star n times h star n to R given by sending alpha beta to the integral over m of alpha beta. So this is a non-degenerate pairing or inner product of the UT on this space. We take the inverse and we contract the indices. So in other words, we take a basis and we take the corresponding dual base. And so synthesis in two pages. In good cases, the spectral sequence above the display. So here, most notably, this happens when M is a smooth projective variety of a C. And that form is due inherently to graceful to parallel. Take a differential form alpha, we sum over all u, take u, times the integral of the dual element times alpha. So this is a projector onto the cohomology, built using the inner product here. And now with respect to this inclusion and this pi, we pick a homotopy. So homotopy will be a linear operator A from omega to omega, such that pH plus HP is equal to the identity minus pi. And this can be done as follows. So, yeah. One can pick a Green's function, of course, one has to show one can pick it, but you just assume it. So this gives you a rough idea of what this E2 page in the spectral sequence is. Now, we want to come back to, like if you only care about surface, this is all you need to know. Like now you have a model, you find the computer. But for high dimensional manifolds, things get more complicated. Now, how to make a model or tentative model for differential forms on an M model, how to complete the cohomology. For this, you need to, in some way, encode the quasi-isomorphism type of omega of m, so that would be called the real homotopy type of the manifold, together with concrete reality. Means if you look at this formula, what we use all around is that you have a compact manifold which is oriented, so we have concrete reality. So, the commutative algebra quasi-isomorphic to Z would be called a model or a DVCA model for him. Now what we want is a model with Poincaré reality. Now how to model a DVCA together with Poincaré reality, which is together with an inner product. So there are the two known ways. The product is what they traditionally use is that they use a so-called Poincaré reality model. So if we get the definition. So, in this form, I think it's probably due to numbers in Stanley, but it has been around before. So probably not fair to attribute to them, but I don't know whether it's put there as well. So probably related to algebra.
Where is the Poincaré duality here?
In the non-degeneracy of this pairing over here.
But it's on A0.
A of AD.
Oh.
So D is a number that you have to give.
Sorry,
it's a dimension of
I was not reading right. Okay.
Thank you. standard approach people use. There's also an alternative approach. People do operate theory and how to deal with an inner product on the space that has long been discovered. And this is by using cyclic operators. Algebra of a cyclic operator would be an algebra of a non-cyclic version together with an inner product that is respected. Such a Pongrad reality model or a cyclic home infinity model for our space to build a model for the configuration space. And then we will. Thanks a lot for your attention.